The Guardian.
John Carney, the veteran actor, is among several South Africans to recently suggest that anyone seeking to understand the country's malaise should look to a fairy story written by an Indian-born, old Etonian veteran of the Spanish Civil War and published in Britain in 1945. George Orwell intended Animal Farm as an allegory of Stalin's Soviet Union, but great metaphors have the regenerative power to go forth and multiply. Literary pessimists may cast the farm as South Africa, the tyrannical Mr. Jones as the apartheid government, the noble revolutionary major as Nelson Mandela, the deposed and erased Snowball as Thabo Mbeki, the scheming ruler Napoleon as Jacob Zuma, and the garrulous zealot Squealer as Julius Malema. Then, of course, there's the cart horse Boxer, representing the exploited workers. Somehow it seemed as though the farm had grown richer without making themselves any richer, except, of course, for the pigs and the dogs, Orwell writes. As for the others, their life, so far as they knew, was as it had always been. They were generally hungry, they slept on straw, they drank from the pool, they laboured in the fields. In winter they were troubled by cold, and in summer by flies. By the end of the story, Napoleon has donned the garb of the one-time enemy, black coat, rat-catcher breeches, and leather leggings, and is at the head of a table where his well-fed comrades play cards and drink beer. Clover, the cart horse, and other animals, peering in at the dining room window, observe how their leaders have become indistinguishable from their previous oppressors. All this came to mind in the days that followed the rapid rise to infamy of Kenny Kuneni, a previously little-known businessman and a member of the so-called New Black Elite. To celebrate his 40th birthday, Kuneni threw a party costing more than 700,000 rand, or £63,000, at an exclusive nightclub in Sandton, the wealthiest suburb of Johannesburg. According to the City Press newspaper, the party was the definition of bling and debauchery, and served 66 bottles of Dom Perignon, 36 bottles of Cristal, and 32 bottles of 18-year-old Chivas Regal. The 300 invited guests, instructed to wear all-white ensembles, included Zizi Kodwa, spokesman for President Zuma, and Malema, president of the African National Congress Youth League. Kuneni, arriving late by limousine, could be seen posing in shades and bow tie and flamboyant white suit, his arms draped around four models smothered in grey paint. But what everyone will remember is the sushi, or rather the manner of its serving. For Kuneni's delectation, the rice and raw fish was spread out on the thighs and stomach of a young model, wearing only shoes and black lingerie. This has become one of those striking images or quotations that seem to trap someone, transfix the media's imagination, and inexorably harden into a symbol of the times. So it was in Kenya in 2004 when Edward Clay, the British High Commissioner, criticised government corruption with the deathless words, "Their gluttony causes them to vomit all over their shoes." Kuneni has quickly been dubbed a sushi king, and this once innocent Japanese delicacy has suddenly become a byword for Gatsby-esque excess. It is this spitting in the face of the poor and insulting their integrity that makes me sick, said Zwelinzima Vavi, General Secretary of the Congress of South African Trade Unions, who is rapidly establishing himself as the voice of the ANC's disappointed friends. I am told at one party sushi was served from the bodies of half-naked ladies. It is the sight of these parties, where the elite display their wealth, often secured by questionable methods, that turns my stomach. But Kuneni evidently isn't a man to take such criticism lying down. He penned Vavi an open letter that retorted, "I should not have to defend what I spend my money on, a huge milestone in my life, when it's honest money spent on honest fun. You remind me of what it felt like to live under apartheid. You are telling me, a black man, what I can and cannot do with my life. White people threw big parties every day when I was a poor young black man. They are still throwing parties. There is nothing wrong with that. Many of them are my friends. I look up to many of them. We celebrate success, not doing what many now do, hiding their money in fear of what people like you will say. I want my life to inspire people to go into business so they can create jobs for others." He added, "You are narrow-minded and still think that it's a sin for black people to drive sports cars or be millionaires at a young age. You make my stomach turn." There has been widespread condemnation of Kuneni for flaunting ostentatious wealth in the world's most unequal society. Figures published this week show that about 1.6 of the population earns a quarter of all personal income. Only 41% of South Africans have a job, and just 58% have attended secondary school. 9% don't have access to water, 23% don't have toilets, and 24% don't have electricity. Average life expectancy is 52, the lowest since 1970. Small wonder that last week, at an event organised by the news and comment website The Daily Maverick, I heard Varvi warn, "We are already sitting on a ticking time bomb. The poor are already getting restless. They are tired of watching and reading about the elite blacks or whites parading wealth a few kilometres away from where they live in squalor. The more we delay intervening, strongly guided by a new growth path that will end poverty, worsening unemployment and inequalities, the more we risk that one day this poor majority will simply walk to the suburbs to demand the same living standards. No walls will be high enough and no electronic fences will be strong enough to stop the overwhelming majority." Just as Nero is doomed to be remembered for fiddling while Rome burned, which he didn't, and Marie Antoinette for saying, "Let them eat cake," which she didn't, so Kuneni looks set to go down in shame for consuming sushi, which he did. But what of the model who acted as his sushi board? "I felt safe the entire time," Naledi told the press. "Nobody came on to me or touched me. And Kenny literally only had one bite to eat."
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.